Good morning, and welcome to our worship service this morning. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to fill our hearts with the light of your word. Lead us to confess our sins and to rejoice in your promise of salvation. Move us to love as we have been loved and to live as you would have us live, to the glory of your holy name. In Jesus' saving name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for this morning is hymn 914. Service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin our worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we confess that we are sinful by nature and have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. We have not loved you above all things. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Have mercy on us, and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us our sins. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence, now we may approach God's throne to find grace to help in our time of need. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Songs of thankfulness and praise, Jesus, Lord, to thee we raise, manifested by the star to the sages from afar. Branch of royal David's stem, in thy birth at Bethlehem, God in man made manifest. We pray. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 9. We'll read verses 1 through 4. This section of Isaiah is quoted in our sermon text for today. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations, or Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. Our second reading is from John chapter 1. We'll read verses 1 through 14. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. This first section of the first chapter of John tells us a few things about Jesus, gives us one of his names, which is the Word. It also declares him to be the light of life and the light of men. That will be the focus of our sermon and our service today, Jesus being the light of the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Here ends our scripture readings. this time we invite the family of Claire Hasselak to come forward for her baptism. Our Savior Jesus Christ commanded baptism when he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." All of us are born into this world with a deep need for baptism, for we are all born into this world sinful. We inherit our sinful nature from our parents, and because of our sins, we deserve eternal death. But Jesus took away our sins by giving his life for us on the cross. At our baptism, he connects us to his death and his resurrection, clothing us with his robe of righteousness and giving us new life. We are no longer controlled by our sinful nature, but by Christ. So we recall what baptism means for our daily lives as we hear these words regarding baptism from the Scriptures. Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Mark, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." In obedience to the command of our Lord and trusting in his promise, you have brought Claire here to be baptized. What you are doing is God-pleasing, for Jesus himself has said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." It is in baptism that God grants the new life of forgiveness, joy, and peace, even to the littlest of children. By the power of God's word, this gracious water of life washes away sin, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe. Please bring Claire forward for her baptism. Claire Evangeline Hasselak, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Claire, the Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has forgiven you all your sins. At your baptism, you are born again and made a dear child of your Father in heaven. May God strengthen you to live in your baptismal grace all the days of your life. Peace be with you. Amen. Amen. Dear parents, dear family members, and you, brothers and sisters in Christ, in the spiritual family into which Claire has been baptized, our Lord commands us that we teach his precious truths to all who are baptized. Christian love, therefore, urges all of us, especially parents, to assist in whatever manner possible so that Claire may remain a child of God until death. So, parents, I ask you, do you sincerely intend to bring up Claire in the way of the Lord, to instruct her in the truths of God's saving word, that she may grow in faith, serve God with a Christian life, and remain in her baptismal grace until the end? If so, answer, yes, as God gives me strength.
Yes, as God gives me strength.
And dear family members, and dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if you are willing in Christian love to carry out your responsibility to assist in whatever manner possible so that Claire may remain a child of God until her death, then answer, yes, as God gives me strength.
Yes,
yes, as God gives me strength. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Merciful Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessing of baptism by which you offer and give the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Help us to regard our baptism as the robe of righteousness we are to wear all the days of our life. We ask you, Lord, to look with special favor upon Claire and grant her a rich measure of your Spirit, that she may grow in faith and godly living. Make us all willing to carry out our responsibilities to those who have been baptized, so that all of us may finally come to the blessed joys of heaven, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Let us join now in confessing the faith in the one true triune God into whom Claire has just been baptized with the words of the Nicene Creed that is found on page 5 in your bulletin. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Go in peace. You may be seated. We'll continue with the baptism hymn, hymn 594. rise. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 4. We'll read verses 12 through 17, and then also verse 23. Now when Jesus heard that John, that is John the Baptist, had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Let me jump to verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever been in a place of complete and total darkness before? Now, I don't mean closing your eyes. If you were to close them right now, you can do that if you'd like. You're going to still be able to sense that there is some light out there. Not that kind of darkness, not just switching the lights off in your bedroom, but deep, full darkness. So dark that if you put your hand in front of your face, you couldn't see it. A darkness so deep that you can almost feel it. Have you ever been in a place like that? Have you ever been in darkness like that? A few summers ago, my family and I went to visit and tour a cave in the state of Wisconsin. And during this tour, you come to a very deep and very narrow section of the cave. It's actually the deepest part of the cave, and it is extremely narrow. And they warn you and they brace you and they say, "We're going to shut off all the lights so you can experience full and complete darkness for a few moments." And let me tell you, if you are even the least bit claustrophobic, that is not the place for you, lights on or lights off. But I'll also admit in all honesty that I was glad they didn't leave those lights off for a moment longer. It's a bit unsettling. It's a bit frightening. If I'm going to be completely honest, I probably didn't handle the darkness as well as the 2-year-old nephew I was holding in my arms. I think he handled it better than I did. In a situation like that, you are desperate for even a little bit of light. A small flashlight, maybe a candle, even a lighted match would do a world of good in a place that's that deep and that thick with darkness. Well, our text for this morning speaks of people who are trapped and sitting in darkness. A darkness that was even deeper and more complete, even more frightening than that confined space at the bottom of a dark cave. The darkness referred to in our sermon text and in our reading from Isaiah is the darkness of sin, of unbelief, and death itself. However, our text also speaks of a light. Not a little light like the light of a candle or a small flashlight, but of a great light, as Matthew says. A light that completely obliterates and eradicates the darkness. That light, of course, is Jesus Christ. In this, our second sermon in this Epiphany series about Jesus being revealed, we look at how Jesus is revealed in the Scriptures as being the light of the world. Jesus himself once called himself that. He said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." John 8, verse 12. Where there is light, there simply cannot be darkness. When you walk into a dark room, no matter how dark it is, even in the bottom of that deep, dark cave, if you turn the lights on, there is no more darkness. There can't be. Where there is light, there cannot be darkness. And that's what God did, in a sense, when he sent Jesus into this world. In our gospel reading from the first chapter of John, we read this: in him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And that word for comprehend there in the Greek is actually a word that means literally to seize or to grasp with force. And so that verse could also be translated this way: and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overpower it. Where Jesus is, where Jesus, the light of the world, is, there can be no darkness. Jesus overpowers it. Where Jesus is, there is forgiveness. There is healing. There is light. And there is life. Now, these areas that are spoken of in our text were the regions around Galilee. These were the areas where Jesus spent much of his ministry while he was here on this earth. That area was populated predominantly by Gentiles, people who were non-Jews, but it also did have a good amount of Jews living in that region as well. And so this mixture of pagan foreigners did have an effect on the religious life of the people in that region. While the worship of the true God was there and followed by some, that area of that region was actually had departed by and large from the worship of the true God that God himself had called for. And so that quote from Isaiah that we have in our text for today describes this region as a people who sat in darkness. And speaking of their spiritual situation and the spiritual situation in general of that region. People who sat in the region and shadow of death. This darkness of false belief, unbelief, and sin reigned in that region. That is, until Jesus came. And so our text, quoting from Isaiah, tells us that Jesus fulfilled that passage, that prophecy from Isaiah. It says, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned." Jesus, the great light, the light of the world, came and spread that light and shed it on all people. How did he do this? Our text tells us that at that time he began to preach. And he began to say things that brought people the light. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." We also read, "He went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people." Jesus came preaching repentance, a turning away from darkness and sin, and turning to the light of Jesus, the light of life. He came preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of heaven. The good news was good news about himself, that he had come to be the savior of mankind, to come and take the darkness and sin, the darkness of their sin, upon himself, and give them the light of life, the light of forgiveness. And he came to do this for both the Jews and the Gentiles of that region, and for the entire world. He would, of course, complete this good news himself by offering his life as the perfect sacrifice on the darkness of that cross on Good Friday, and then the glorious light of his resurrection on Easter morning. Notice that Jesus came to be a light for all people amidst this darkness. He came to be a light from sin and all of its effects. Jesus didn't just come to this region and walk this earth preaching and teaching. Our text also tells us that he came healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people. He came to heal us from sin and even the effects of sin. That, of course, will be perfectly restored to all of us when we reach his kingdom of heaven. I begin our sermon this morning asking you if you've ever been in complete and total darkness before. And even though I don't know if you visited a very dark place like the bottom of a cave or not, I can say with certainty that all of us here today, you and I, have all experienced complete and full darkness in our lives. In fact, everyone who's ever been born into this world has experienced the fullest and most complete darkness at one point in their lives. By our nature, when we are born people who sit in darkness, who sit in the region of the shadow of death. We're born lost, born in utter darkness, headed for utter eternal darkness. But Jesus, the great light of the world, has dawned on each one of us. Jesus eradicated and dispelled our darkness by preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of heaven, to us. Now, maybe he didn't do so personally like he did when he traveled around the regions of Galilee, preaching and teaching the kingdom from the words of his own mouth, but he gives it to us through the word. He also has done it through maybe his representatives, maybe your parents, as Nick and Aaron have done today, bringing Claire here to hear the word of God, to be baptized into his family. Maybe it came through Christian teachers, Sunday school teachers, Christian day school teachers, or pastors. Jesus still comes to us through these people in our lives who use the very word of God. But he also comes to us directly. Comes to us in that word through the message of the forgiveness and light he came to bring. He comes to us in the word and in the sacraments, as we will see today. Comes to us in the miracle of the water and the Spirit, baptizing us in his shed blood, washing away our sins. He comes to us in the bread and wine, in which we find his very body and blood given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins, comforting us in our troubled hearts by telling us, you personally are forgiven. Now that we've had the sun, the S-O-N, shine on us, the light of the world shine on us, something amazing has happened to us who once sat in darkness. Jesus has made us not people of darkness, but he's actually made us lights in this world. Lights that reflect his light. As a matter of fact, he tells us in Matthew's gospel, you are the light of the world. It's a striking passage, isn't it? We always think of Jesus as saying, I am the light of the world, but he tells us, you are the light of the world. He wants us to be lights that reflect his light and that point people to that one great light of the world, Jesus Christ. I don't think I need to remind you just how dark a place this world can be, or how spiritually dark this region of our country is. In fact, you could probably say we live in an area that is much like the region that is spoken about in our text. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the Galilee of the Gentiles. A region of people who sat in darkness, who sat in the region and shadow of death. If you read some of the surveys of the Bay Area, you will see that they consistently show that this area is the most unchurched, means referring to people who do not attend church, and the most de-churched, refers to people who have left church for one reason or another, the most de-churched and unchurched area of our country, and it is not even close. The Bay Area also is ranked sixth in this country in the percentage of people who have never actually been to church. When we hear studies like that and think of the region and the area we live in and the darkness that surrounds us, it can be overwhelming. We can feel like the darkness is overcoming us. We might even be tempted to despair because it seems like our lights aren't all that large or all that great. Our lights individually seem so small. Our light as a small congregation here in the South Bay might seem very small as well. But remember what I said earlier in the first part of the sermon. In complete darkness, even a little light makes a huge difference. That's when light shines the brightest, in the darkness. That's why God encourages us in his New Testament to let our light for Christ shine. Let that great light of the world shine and reflect that light. As Matthew says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The Apostle Paul also reminds us in Ephesians, you once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. And the Apostle Peter reminds us that we are called out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we may proclaim the praises of God. Have you ever been in complete and total darkness before? Yes, you have. I have too. And we all know people who are living in darkness, without the light of the world, Jesus Christ, shining on them. God in his grace has revealed that light to us. The light of salvation through Jesus Christ to you and to me. And he wants us to go with that light and share that light to his glory. Where Jesus is, there can be no darkness. So let's share and shine that light of the world to the world. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Thankful hearts will now be received. I invite you to please rise. Are there any prayer requests for today?
Yes. Thankfulness for Claire's baptism, and then also Bob's brother, Don, has a basketball-sized tumor in his lungs, and they're doing surgery on Tuesday. If you could pray for Don.
Don is his name?
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus, the light of the world, we thank you that you came to seek and to save that which was lost, including coming to save us. You, God's own Son, came here to suffer for us, to bleed and die to redeem us sinners. You have even supplied to us the gift of faith through your Holy Spirit, that we might personally make your salvation our own. We thank you, dear Jesus, for bringing us to faith and for blessing Claire with the gift of faith today in her baptism. Help her to grow in that faith all the days of her life, that she may live to the glory of your name. We bring special prayers today, Lord, prayers of healing and prayers of grace for Don. We pray that you would give the doctors and nurses who are treating him the wisdom to know what to do with the tumor that is afflicting him. We ask you to touch him with your healing hand, Lord, and comfort him with the knowledge that you are with him, that you are working all things out for his good. We pray, Lord, that you would comfort his family and his loved ones with that knowledge as well as they face this difficult time with him. Encourage him with your word that tells him that you have come to set him free from his sin, from sickness and from death by giving him eternal life in heaven. We ask you, Lord, to bless us with your word, that you would bring us here each Sunday to hear that word, help us apply it to our lives and share it then with others, that others may know and see you, the light of the world. May the blessings of salvation and of your gracious presence rest upon us and all of our homes and upon all who are near and dear to us. To the glory of your saving name, we ask these things as we pray now in your name, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, and that hymn can be found printed on page 7 in your book.
Thank you.
Please rise. We continue our service on the top of page 8 with the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of our Lord be with you always. We continue with our prayer before the Lord's Supper on the top of page 8. Dear Savior, upon your gracious invitation, I come to your altar. Let me find favor in your eyes, that I may approach your table in true faith and receive the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of my sins and the strengthening of my faith. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thy body given for me, O Savior, thy blood which thou for me didst shed, these are my life and strength forever. By them my hungry soul is fed.
Please be seated. At this time, we respectfully ask those who are communicant members of St. Stephen Lutheran Church or of a sister congregation in the Church of the Lutheran Confession to come forward to receive the Lord's Supper at the direction of our usher. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Please rise. Let's join in praying the prayer after the Lord's Supper on the middle of page 9. O blessed Savior Jesus Christ, you have given yourself to me in this holy sacrament. Keep me in your faith and favor. As you live in me, let me also live in you. May your body and blood preserve me in the true faith unto everlasting life. Amen.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord with gladness. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
On behalf of our congregation, a warm welcome to our guests and visitors who are here today. We're glad you can join us for this wonderful and special occasion, the baptism of Claire. We invite all who are gathered here for some cake at a reception in the fellowship hall following our service today. This week, catechism class over Skype will be at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Thursday, our choir will be practicing, already getting ready for Lent and Easter songs. Lent begins and lasts then a month. Actually, Valentine's Day is the beginning of Lent this year, so we are beginning our choir practice for that season of the church year. Please join us on Thursday if you'd like and help us sing in the choir. Next Sunday, we'll be having our usual scheduled Bible class at 9 a.m., worship at 10. Then we'll be having our voters' annual meeting at 11 a.m. You see in the bulletin there the annual reports for those who haven't due are due today. I'll send them into our church secretary, Nick Hasselak. One note from the CLC News, your former pastor, Neil Radical, has accepted a call to serve as the co-pastor in Emmanuel Mankato. That is our, I believe it's now our second largest church in our church body, so please pray for him as he and his family have a big transition ahead. From what he told me this week, they are not planning on moving until after Easter, so sometime in April they'll be making that transition. Keep them in your prayers, and if you think of it, drop him a note this week. Any other announcements for today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.